from Hattiesburg, Mississippi asked this question. Let's see how this relates to what we've been saying. She says, non-physical has said there is no good or evil. The dictionary defines conscience as an inner feeling or voice viewed as acting as a guide to the rightness or wrongness of one's behavior. What is the role of conscience? It is a connection to non-physical.
So let's start. That's like four questions. Start with the first sentence first. Is there good and evil, Ion?
Well,
no.
Yeah, she says she's quoting Ion saying non-physical has said there's no good or evil. Then she says the definition of conscience as an inner conscience as an inner feeling or voice viewed as acting as a guide to the rightness or wrongness of one's behavior.
Now look at your definition. Viewed. So who's viewing? Who's giving what the view is? The human creator. So see, it's another way of putting it in another pile. Oh, it was my conscience made me do it, or I did what I really wanted to do, but now my conscience is bothering me.
So
get rid of it. Then you don't have to worry about subconscious and unconscious and deconscious and less than conscious and super conscious and extra conscious and then that'll take care of ego and all that ego strains, and then the ego does this and does that and blame it on the rain, and my ego got my conscience tore up, and they're filing suit against each other, and I don't know. I'm sure it'll go to the Supreme Court, and then we'll have authority speak, which is more relevant, my ego or my conscience in the realm of my authority and whose power we're really talking about here anyway. So the view, by your definition, is very delightful. It's contrast-provoking because you're pinning it backward to say that this conscience is an inner voice trying to tell you what to do. Well, if you don't know what to do, how can you believe this inner voice telling you what to do? You don't know.
Right. So she's
going to believe your conscience.
So she asked, what is the role of conscience? I guess we'd ask where it comes from.
Ain't one.
Is it coming from the rulemaking that a culture does?
Yeah. Degrees of separation, yes.
So it's in the labyrinth of your mind?
Absolutely.
And that's what we're trying to get rid of.
Right.
Well, our streamlined to such a fact that you know and quit having to think.
You're proposing not thinking and not thinking.
No, we're not proposing not thinking. You think naturally. That's not the problem. But the problem is you get crossed up, you know something, and then you think you know. And then, why do I not know? And when am I going to know? And where did it all go so terribly wrong? And how can I ever get that? Why did this happen to me? And who said that all these rules and regulations had to do with this inner voice that's angling me up in my place of just trying to be happy?
Yeah, so let your thoughts flow. Know that every thought that you think is an attempt. Hey, Bob, what about this rule? And you make a thought. You think, nah, that's good, that's bad. You ignore your thoughts because your mind is always there trying to create little rules for you or judgments of what's going on. That's all a thought can be, is it's saying this is this, that's that, right?
It's relative, and it's relative. It's relative. Water. Water is water good or evil? Well, it's neither. But water is a sustaining element of life. Okay, so water's necessary. Great. But have a dam break and find yourself under 100 feet of it, and then all of a sudden water can wash away your every hope and dream.
Okay, so you have these thoughts, and you can enjoy the funny, almost illusions that thoughts making, and you can express them, but you end up living as an actor. You don't really mean any of the thoughts you say. You just watch the thoughts that bounce back to you by someone else who counterthinks or supplements your thinking. It's a dance that should never be concluded upon.
Well, it never is. You can't get it done. And the whole fun of this eternalness that we're engaging and describing here is that it takes everything off the hook, meaning you know. If you know where your car keys are and you're looking in your hand at your car keys, then you have no degree of separation of where your car keys are. You don't spend the rest of your life wondering who, what, when, where, and how your car keys are eluding you, because you know where they are.
And that brings in the whole authority business as well, because if people keep trying to be right about something, that's their authority position. instead of a power position of knowing and being happy.
Knowing is ignoring the chatter of your mind, but the chatter is not something to not express. You can express it,
right? Just don't make it just don't make it law. Somebody asks you something that's going to send you off the lit, trip you off the light. Fantastic. And you don't even have to have an agree or disagree with their position. You can look at them and smile and say, why do you want to know? And they'll start going, well, I was just trying to have some manipian fatigue. I hope you didn't engage, but you validate my position, which is clearly aware. And my conscience told me to talk to you about it. And my inner voice said that if I could find someone more less than me, then I could feel more validated. So if you talk to me long enough, it'll prove just how smart I really am. that's great. Why did you want to know? And then let them stammer and they go, okay, never mind. They have to agree or disagree or have a point or a counterpoint. Let them dig. They dug their own hole. Let them dig themselves a little deeper. It's not a problem.
Okay, so when Barbara says, what is the role of conscience? Conscience is a role created by us. We do create a role for it. It's like holding to a thought that you've thought for a long time, which becomes a belief system or a guide to your actions. Is there any connection of that creative function of the role of conscience to the non-physical?
No.
No way at all.
Well, about as much as connection as you also created an electric chair, and the only connection to the electric chair to non-physical is it's a way you can separate your meat sack from your non-physical.
So it's useful to drop the concept of non-physical if you're really good at ignoring your thinking, because thinking there's a non-physical.
The whole point. Yes.
No, let me finish this. Thinking there's a non-physical, just another thought.
Well, what we're trying to, we're not even saying that. We're not even saying
that.
You're acting like non-physical is this manipian, uninvited guest. What we're trying to tell you over and over and over. Got more non-physical than you have physical already. If it was done by vis-a-vis the Electoral College, you wouldn't be discussing how to get rid of your physical, because it's not serving you well, and the Senate subcommittee that's holding hearings to decide every dynamic that affects your meat sack, you'd be actually having the other, those non-physical Republicans, there's a lot more of them than there are of those un-physical Democrats. So we better be listening to what the Republicans have to say, because they got the vote. Well, the only problem is, the good news here, is your non-physical is closeted because you already have it. So there's no need to even call a vote regarding it, because your non-physical already knows.